Hi, you're listening to Sincerely Mrs. Mommy, the podcast. SincerelyMrsMommy.com is a mom lifestyle blog dedicated to sharing authentic tips, advice, and inspirational stories for the modern mom. Our goal is to encourage you to grow, thrive, and be confident in every role that you lead. My name is Desiree Ofori. I'm the founder and the host for today. Thank you for tuning in. Let's get started. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Sincerely Mrs. Mommy, the podcast. My name is Desiree. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome, welcome, welcome. And if you are a returning listener, welcome back. So before we get into today's episode, I just wanted to give a shout out and a thank you to FeedSpot.com. Y'all, on June 12th, they featured Sincerely Mrs. Mommy podcast as one of the top 40 mom podcasts to listen and subscribe to in 2019. It's crazy because I think it was the day before that I was asking you guys if you had access to iTunes to go and rate and review Sincerely Mrs. Mommy so that we could get our rankings up and more people could find out about us. So incredible to have that. Thank you so much, FeedSpot. I really, really appreciate it. I will have a link to that article in today's show notes, so definitely check it out and to check out the other mom podcasts as well so that you can be inspired and encouraged. And it's just so great. Also, on YouTube, I have a 30-day prayer vlogs for moms challenge I've been doing every day for the month of June. Today is day number 26, so definitely go and check out that playlist. I've got topics on mom life, on marriage, ministry, mental health, finances, healing. What else is there? Yesterday I talked about patience. So definitely go on there and watch, get your fill. I'm coming in with scripture to back up what I'm talking about, and a prayer, great prayers at the end of the videos. It's kind of turned into like a devotional. Didn't really expect for it to turn out that way, but that's how it's turning out. And so definitely go if you didn't get your devotional, if you're looking for a devotional, something that you want to just listen to or watch while, you know, you're not too busy, definitely go check out that playlist. I have a whole playlist for it. So it's the 30-day prayer vlogs for moms. Find me on YouTube at Sincerely Mrs. Mommy, and definitely check that out. It will bless you. It really, really will. So today we have Faith Broussard Cade. I actually started following her. I have to go back and look back in 2016, and I have always enjoyed her posts because, you know, she's positive, she's fun, her daughter is adorable, and she's a great baker. She would bake these amazing treats and would post beautiful pictures of them. And so, of course, you know, I like to eat. I like snacks. I like sweets. So it was like a win-win to follow her. I really enjoyed following her. But in the past year, she had a experience which changed her life radically. She had a car accident at the beginning of last year, 2018, which left her with a mild brain traumatic injury. And Faith is an amazing woman because she didn't let that just hold her back. She used that to her advantage, not only to advocate for herself health-wise, but also to use it in a way to promote self-care and just encouragement. I know she started it for herself, but it is definitely has changed people across the globe. On Instagram, she's already at over 30,000 followers. She has been, her little notes of encouragement have been reshared by people like Katie Couric and Shonda Rhimes. Like, she's legit. So let me give you a little bit about her and some of her little notes so you can get an idea of what you're getting into, and then we'll get straight into the podcast episode. So Faith is a mom, wife, mental health therapist, self-care advocate, author, baker, and she's originally from Louisiana, now residing in Atlanta. And here are some of the quotes. One, if you taking care of yourself offends them, they are not your people. Two, joy is a choice before it becomes a feeling. Three, things may be tough right now, but so are you. Four, Everything may seem important, but not everything is a priority. And five, my favorite right now is maturity and growth is when you're able to appreciate the life you have while working for the life you want. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Faith. Like I told you guys, I've known Faith, I believe for a couple of years now through Instagram, and I started following you before you had the accident. I didn't really know you, but I liked following, like seeing your food and those look delicious. And then I remember, like, for a while, I didn't know if it was maybe Instagram or you just taking that time away, but then you came back and then you started with the notes, and I had read your blog post about what happened, and I was like, oh my goodness, wow.
Yeah.
If
Big
you could tell
changes.
if you could tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, just so they can hear it from your your perspective, and we'll get into what happened with the accident and all of that.
Sure, absolutely. First of all, thank you so much for inviting me. I love doing work like this, and it's my challenge to myself for this year to do more recordings and podcasts and things like that, because typically that's something that I shy away from. So thank you for the opportunity. My name is Faith Broussard Cade, and I am from a small sugarcane farming town called New Iberia, Louisiana. Born and raised there. All of my family still lives there. I loved being at home. I decided to go to college at the University of the South in Suwanee, Tennessee, which is where I met my now husband. And once I finished my bachelor's degree in English and French studies at Suwanee, I m moved to Nashville and got my master's in human development counseling from Vanderbilt. So I started my career there as a school counselor, and really, really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the work that I was doing. I typically was working in Title I schools where the majority of the student population is on free and reduced lunch. And so you have a good, like, mix or melting pot of kids and ethnicities and cultures. And I love working in that environment. Shortly after that, my husband and I got engaged, and we're trying to figure out where we wanted to live. And he's from Decatur, Georgia, which is inside of Atlanta, and we decided to move here. So that's where we currently live. We have one daughter. Her name is Sydney, and she is perfect, and she's four. And we live kind of out in the suburbs of Atlanta. That was kind of our compromise. My husband's a city boy and I'm a country girl, and I do not like traffic. Like, the thought of going downtown and having to parallel park gives me extreme anxiety. Like, parking garages the whole night, it's too much. And so we just, like, stay out in our little bubble, and we have malls and everything we need out here, and we venture into the city like twice a year, maybe. But we enjoy our little life out here. And once we moved here, I actually worked for a private practice as a mental health therapist for a while. But then I realized that my heart was more so with the kids. And so I went back into school counseling and was there until February of last year, February 2018. And that's when I had the car accident and ended up kind of taking away from or leaving that career.
Got it. So, we have that in common, the mental health background. I have my master's also in mental health counseling, so it makes sense. When I realized that you had that degree, it made sense. Like, okay, what you're doing now, it's you're still using those skills
Right.
and that education, just working it in a different way. So,
Absolutely.
the same way
Absolutely.
I feel about Sincerely Mrs. Mommy, I'm just working it in a different way. It
Yeah. And
doesn't
I mean,
leave
it's
us.
so important to be flexible. I remember there was a time where I thought all I could do was school counseling or private practice therapy. There were really no other options, and I probably limited myself or pigeonholed myself into one specific box. But I just there was a part of me that was ready to move on from school counseling, but I didn't know what I was going to be moving into. I always said, I don't want to lose that aspect of counseling. I don't want to lose the aspect of helping people and advocating for mental health and encouraging people, but I just don't want to do it in an office. I just don't want to do it that way. And so I guess what I do now is was God's way of showing me that I could do what I want to do on my terms.
Right. I totally get that. I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. So tell us a little bit about this accident that happened and what that experience was like recovering afterwards.
Oh gosh, of course. I was actually on my way to work in January 9th, 2018. It was a Tuesday morning, going the way that I always go, and I was stopped at a stoplight, and for some reason a like flatbed truck similar to like a tractor trailer or tow truck came down the hill behind me and just didn't stop. Just pummeled right into the back of the car that was behind me and then pushed that car into me. So I was hit from behind. And I ended up sustaining a mild traumatic brain injury and a concussion. And really having more of a difficult time recovering and adjusting than I ever expected. It seemed like it would be minor, and it seemed like I would be back on my way, for a while. I tried to go back to work the next week after the accident happened, and I was in miserable pain and having awful headaches and just unable to focus. I could barely move my neck around because I had limited range of motion, and I just had to, with tears in my eyes, had to make the decision that I need to take medical leave. And initially, my medical leave was for a month. I thought, surely I'll be back and better, in no time. And then it was 2 months. And then it was until spring break. And then it was until the end of the school year. And it just kept getting prolonged because, unfortunately, I wasn't getting the proper amount of care for my injuries, and I had a hard time finding doctors and practitioners and neurologists who would actually listen to me and what my symptoms were and the anxiety that came along with it and the insomnia of going 4 or 5 days straight without sleeping, forgetting to pick Sydney up from school, having to set reminders for everything, going to the store and getting to the checkout counter and not having my purse. Like it totally turned my life upside down in a way I never could have expected. And it was a huge turning point in my life because I wouldn't say I'm a control freak, but I like for things to be in order. So I guess that's like a nice way of saying the same thing. But I like things to be in order. I like my simplified planner with like my matching pens and my stickers. and I like to plan things out, and I like to be able to look at a piece of paper and see what I have coming up. I don't like surprises. I'm the person who like wants you to tell me the end of the movie before I watch it so I can know what to expect. I'm that person, right? Wow. So yeah, so it's like all before, I feel like in my life, I had been able to keep things nice and neat and tidied up and, you know, wrapped up with a bow. And although things happen outside of my control, for the most part, I felt like I had a good handle on my life. And then this happened and totally disrupted any type of order or procedure or schedule that I had created for myself. And that probably was the biggest adjustment for me. I am an adult living with ADHD, a pretty extreme case. And so I think I used my planning as a coping mechanism to keep my life in order, because otherwise I would be running around all day like a chicken with my head cut off and not getting anything accomplished. And I couldn't live like that. So I planned the heck out of my days so that I could accomplish things. And then when this accident happened, the way my neurologist explained it to me was that essentially my brain makeup and my brain chemistry is different because of the concussion, because my brain was essentially rattled inside of my skull. Mm-hmm. So it was like starting from scratch, being confused a lot, being very irritable. And I noticed my family kind of tiptoeing around me a lot because they didn't know what to expect. I had severe mood swings. I would be happy one second and the next just irritated and just want to be in my room by myself and not talk to anyone. It was a very, very dark place and a very, very dark time.
Did anybody ever tell you, or you over time you began to notice that yourself, that you were having these big mood swings and that people were acting differently around you?
It was a combination of both. So my husband was very careful to not say anything or make a big deal about it, because he knew how awful I was already feeling not being able to be in control of my emotions, of my pain level. I mean, I was in chronic pain every day, getting injections in my body of steroids to help relieve the pain, mind numbing migraines that just would not go away. Like I said, the insomnia where I was up for 4 or 5 days straight without sleeping. And anyone in mental health knows that sleep deprivation can cause feelings of psychosis, anxiety, depression, mood disturbances, and all those kinds of things. So, you know, it was like an out of body experience almost, because all of the things that I had been helping my clients with for the past 10 years were things that I was experiencing firsthand. And it gave me a completely different perspective on mental health and how people with mental health disorders are viewed. But I also kind of was outside of myself and could see myself being irritable with my daughter or being irritated with my husband or being in a bad mood. But it was like, I couldn't stop it. I couldn't fix it. It just, you know, it just came out before I could kind of control it. So that was extremely difficult to process.
Right. Wow. And like you said, being having gone through school, learned about these disorders and things of that nature, and treating people with it, and then experience, I'm sure that had to be, like you said, kind of like a, oh my gosh. And
Absolutely.
even probably, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I could just imagine it being upsetting. Kind of like, this is not supposed to, I'm not supposed to be here experiencing this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was very much a I'm supposed to be the helper, right? I'm always supposed to be helping. Why am I now in a position where I'm vulnerable and I'm the one who has to be helped? And when I tell you, that is without a doubt one of the hardest things to adjust to, because it just wasn't my MO. It just wasn't me to have to ask for help, to have to depend on anyone else to help me do anything or remember anything. Or what I mean, my daughter, who's 4, she was 3 at the time, she essentially had to step in and be like my little personal assistant. Mommy, did you remember to write down that we need this? Mommy, I'm out of gummy vitamins. Can you write that down? And that is it. It's
Heartbreaking.
heartbreaking that your child feels the need to step in that place. Now, of course, I'm grateful for the incredible little human that she is, that she is an empath. She's a feeling person like her mom, and she knows and can sense when things are off. But the mom in me felt like I'm supposed to be taking care of her. Why is she helping me up the stairs to the bedroom? Why is she helping me take my shoes off? Why is she rubbing my back while I'm laying down to go to sleep? I should be doing those things for her. And so was a life-changing adjustment that I don't think anyone can understand until they're in that position.
Right. So how long did this go on for before you started to see, be able to have a change?
Oh gosh. So the accident was in January of 2018, and it was not until September that I actually started feeling better and seeing improvement. That was for a lot of reasons that, this podcast is not long enough to get into the woes of the healthcare system and, Black women statistically being ignored and treated like, the things that they are dealing with are false, and that they're making them up. They're a figment of our imagination. And so for a very long time, I had doctors who would tell me that because my MRI came back fine, because my CAT scan came back fine, that nothing was wrong with me, that I should be better by now. I had doctors tell me, well, how badly was your car damaged? You shouldn't be having
My
the
goodness.
issues that you're having. I've had doctors dismiss me with 800 milligram ibuprofen and muscle relaxants. I mean, I had been through the ringer and had felt treated like someone who wasn't human. And it was eye-opening, because sometimes I think we forget that because we have, degrees and we are educated and we went to good schools and we have good careers, we think that we will be seen as equals, right? But and I had been blinded by that facade for a very long time. Of course, I had the occasional time when I go into J. Crew and the sales girls like following me all around to see if I'm going to steal something. But this was different, because I'm in pain. I'm unable to take care of my child. I'm unable to be the wife that I need to be to my husband. And I'm coming to you and I'm telling you something is wrong, and you're treating me like a crack addict off the street who's trying to get pain pills from you. And that's right. not who I am. And part of me wants to be like, do you know that I have a master's degree? Do you, like, not that that would matter to them, right? But it was just, don't treat me like I'm not human. And that was a very frustrating experience and a big part of what delayed my recovery from the beginning. I honestly feel like if I had gotten the right healthcare from the beginning, I would be in a very different place. I would have recovered much quicker than I did. But in September is when I started seeing a phenomenal neurologist and brain injury specialist, and she literally changed my life for the better. She had me tested for vertigo, and sure enough, I had vertigo, two different types, which was
I didn't even know there was more than one type.
Two different types, which were causing part of the headaches and the insomnia and feeling dizzy and off balance, and vision issues as well. So she then referred me to a physical therapist to address those issues. And my physical therapist, I mean, I would pretty much say he saved my life. He gave me my life back. And so since I've done those things, I've been much better. Now I feel like I'm in kind of the final stages of recovery. I'm only treating with my neurologist now, and we're kind of regulating my meds. I have to take medication for memory. I have to take medication for anxiety. And I also have to take a monthly injection for headaches that I'll probably have to take for the rest of my life.
Okay. Got it. So I want to commend you, because I always say, especially with the rise of and the awareness of, you know, the Black maternal health disparity, mm-hmm. I always say that we have to, as Black women and just anybody in general, honestly, we have to advocate for Absolutely. Ourselves that the doctors, they are serving us. We are paying them to help us, not just going around. And so to just settle with what one doctor says and like, okay, well, they said this, and well, I guess they must be right. I commend you for still pushing, and even as frustrating as it was, and probably very draining, but to continue to keep seeking until you found somebody who heard you and believed you and fought for you. So kudos to you.
Thank you. Thank you. It was certainly not an easy task. I'm sure I made a lot of doctors unhappy, but hey, they'll get over it.
I want to live with this, not them.
So I'm in a much better place now, and I'm so grateful for the physicians that I did have that actually did listen to me and think outside of the box and realize that not everything that's wrong with someone is going to show up on a scan or an X-ray or something that you can see. And I think that's an important thing to remember for anyone who is dealing with a similar situation. Just because it doesn't show up on a scan does not mean that you are crazy and that you're imagining things. You know yourself and your body and your capabilities better than anyone else does. And you have to advocate for yourself, or no one else will.
Right. So true. So the thing that has gotten a lot of attention are your little notes of encouragement and just kind of like self-help and just reevaluating how we look at life and situations. And I mean, y'all, if I had a friend tell me, you must really like this lady. You keep reposting and resharing her. And I'm like, I do. You should follow her. It's really good. The things that she, these little notes. So she has, sometimes they're on post-it notes, sometimes they're on like torn pieces of paper, and they have different backgrounds of wherever she is. And just these little nuggets that's just like packed with like, whoa. Makes you stop, you're scrolling and you stop and you're like, wait, I'm gonna sit on this for a few seconds before I keep scrolling.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you.
Yes, like really, and I would, think about these quotes and whatnot for, days sometimes. They just really resonated with me. And so, where did that idea come from? And what has, I mean, now you have a whole, book.
Right.
So let's go back. So how did you start with these notes?
So it was May of last year. So several months after the accident, I still wasn't getting better. I wasn't feeling better. I wasn't in a better place mentally or emotionally. And even though I had a traumatic brain injury and a concussion, and I'm dealing with all these health issues, and my doctors are telling me to get rest and rest my brain and not overexert myself, I felt so consumed with guilt for not being at work, right? Not contributing to the income of my family, having my husband have to be the only breadwinner in the house, all of the changes that our lives were going through. I felt guilty about that, and I felt guilty for resting. Now, this isn't like, oh, I sat down all day and ate cookies and watched Netflix and then felt guilty for not doing stuff. This was, I have a legitimate reason to be resting. My specialists are telling me to rest, and I, for whatever reason, am so consumed with mom guilt and wife guilt and society guilt. And the perception of other people about, well, now I'm not working, and oh, you just stay at home now? That was very, right. It was very, very difficult. And so I found myself pushing myself to cook 5 meals a week and do all the running around and keep the house clean and be room mom for Sydney's pre-K class and do all the things to prove to other people that I wasn't just sitting at home doing nothing. And I realized that that mentality of trying to prove to other people that I was worthy of resting and taking care of myself was killing me. And it was preventing my recovery and my rehabilitation. So one day, as room mom for Sydney's class, she had a field trip to a Sparkle skating rink. And I went as a chaperone, but I got there a little bit early and I was sitting in my car in the parking lot. It was raining outside. I remember it vividly. And I sat there and I thought to myself, okay, Faith, you have got to do something different or you're not going to make it. You will not be able to sustain this pace that you have set for yourself. You need to figure out a way to take care of yourself that makes sense for you and something that you can do consistently. So, yeah, I'm unemployed. A weekly massage, that's not going to get it, right? Like that it's not going to work. Or a spa day or whatever the case may be, or some lavish vacation to Bali. That's not my life right now. I have to figure out what works for me. And so I thought to myself, well, I'll just write myself a little note every day, a little like self-love, self-care note. 5 minutes, that's it. Anybody can find 5 minutes in their day. And I'm going to do that. and I'm going to do it for 15 days to see how it feels. And I'm going to post it on Instagram because I don't like being embarrassed. And I know if I post something and say I'm going to do it for 15 days straight and then one day I miss it, somebody's going to call me on it and be like, hey, you didn't post when you said you were going to. So I felt like it was a perfect, it was a perfect way to like be held accountable.
Yeah.
So I did that and I posted the first note and then the second one. And, you know, well into week one, I started getting DMs from people about how my notes have changed their perspective on things, have prompted them to get the mental health care that they need because they had been shamed for seeking mental health care. I got DMs from women saying, you know, thank you so much for giving me the courage to leave an abusive 25-year marriage. Or young adults sending me messages about, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. I've kind of just been screwing around, but I just wanted to let you know that your notes motivated me and I'm leaving for the Navy in 2 weeks. Like when I tell you, I was getting such extraordinary responses that the end of the 15 days came and I was like, well, crap. I can't stop writing these notes now. People are like counting on me and I have to keep doing this. And so what started out as something I was using to help heal myself ended up having a much bigger purpose and a much bigger platform than I ever could have imagined and actually help others heal as well. And that, quite honestly, has been the greatest honor and blessing throughout this whole experience is to hear those stories. And even I've had, you know, servicemen come back from war and send me messages and say that they read their notes. They read my notes every day while they were out there and it kept them motivated and, you know, and it encouraged them to get treatment for their PTSD when they got home. Like it just, my heart is exploding with gratitude. And every time I get a feeling like I can't do this anymore, I don't want to write this note anymore, I don't have anything to say, nobody cares about what I'm doing, it totally flips my perspective into one of like, I get to do this work every day that influences people's lives. This is an absolute honor and pleasure to be able to do this. And it's not something that I ever take lightly anymore. I did initially because I thought it was just these little notes, but they actually just aren't these little notes anymore. And I'm so grateful for that.
What a testament of turning bad things into
right.
Finding the silver lining. Like, I know you're a woman of faith. So, you know, when God says that, you know, he will turn, you know, the bad things Absolutely. Into good, like it will turn around for his glory. Like, this is like, I'm just like mind blown. And you say like my heart swells for you, and just to hear the type of difference that you are making around the world. Yeah. Not saying that being a counselor or working in a therapy office, like that's not, you know, life changing and, you know, world changing, but sometimes it's a great reminder that sometimes it doesn't take something so big.
Right, absolutely.
Just these people can just like really do a drop in the ocean and the ripple effect.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Just imagine like all the other lives that are being affected because of those people that have read your notes, how that's just continuing to go
right.
on.
And people share them all the time, which I'm grateful for. I mean, I've had Katie Couric and Viola Davis and Shonda Rhimes and all of these people like sharing my notes, and I'm just like, little old me, like little old Faith Broussard from Podunk, Louisiana. And, you know, people are listening to me and what I have to say. I also think it's quite funny that I went to private school growing up, and I had to take penmanship for a grade until middle school, and I resented it. I hated it. And you know, like when you're a kid, you're like, why do I have to do this math? I'll never use it in life. And then I'm thinking the same thing about penmanship. And here, like, my whole platform is based off of my handwriting on these little bitty notes. It's crazy, but I think about that and I laugh because I think that God is so faithful, but he's also incredibly funny and has a great sense of humor. And so I think that was just a little nugget he placed in my life to keep me laughing throughout this whole process. Like, you know, you thought you never need this, but this is what you're using to change lives. And I'm just overwhelmed with gratitude to be able to do what I do.
I love it. I love it. So I just pulled up one of your notes. It was back in April, and it says, and it goes with what we were just saying, "Today I affirm that I will focus more on absorbing the light than fighting the darkness."
Mm-hmm.
That's just, I gotta read it again. In case y'all missed it. So if you're going through, you know, a difficult time, and it just seems like you just want to be, it's just like the darkness of it just wants to sweep you away. Remember this: today I affirm that I will focus more on absorbing the light than fighting the darkness.
Yeah.
So good.
Thank you.
So
Thank
good.
You. I think that kind of is representative of everything that I try to say and everything that I try to do, is that, and it's at the heart of what I do, that I could for sure focus on and dwell on and sulk about the change in my lifestyle, the change in my body, the change in my mental state, the change in my family finances. You know, I could very much, and probably with good reason, like, people wouldn't even think it was bad that I was, you know, upset and frustrated about the ways that my life has changed. And yet we are so incredibly blessed. I mean, beyond measure. I've been presented with opportunities to do things I never would have gotten before. I have, you know, had the pleasure of talking to people who are using my journals and letting me know how much it's changing their lives. And I just believe that what we focus on is what we see. And if I choose to focus on the light that is very much there, if I choose to look past that darkness and see the light, that's going to influence my mood, my attitude, my day, the way I treat other people, the way I treat myself. And so it's always, always important to see that even though something may be difficult, even though it may seem impossible, if you just take a minute to, like, pull that back, right? Just pull that back and look beyond it. There's so many beautiful things and blessings in our lives that would go unnoticed.
Yeah. That's so true. We'll miss out on so much. Awesome. So you are definitely a mom boss, and I came up with my own definition of what a mom boss is recently. That is a mom who takes charge of what she's been given and makes the impossible happen while raising kids at the same time. And if y'all haven't listened to this, you need to go, like, if you wasn't paying attention, you need to go back from the beginning and just, like, you are like the epitome of
Oh,
what my
wow.
little definition
Oh,
that
wow.
should be your picture next to it.
Well, I mean, I am honored. I will take that title and wear it proudly. I just, like you said, being a mom boss is getting stuff done. And so, you know, like, and throughout this whole process, there is nothing that could stop me from taking care of my child. It doesn't matter if, you know, I felt like I couldn't keep it together anymore, or I couldn't go on anymore. There's something inside of you as a mom that it's like your heart is connected to that baby, and no matter what, you want them to be cared for, you want them to be loved, you want them to feel safe. And so there were plenty of times where Sydney wanted me to go outside and play with her or run around the park with her, and I couldn't, but I could lay on the couch with her and I could watch cartoons with her and I could play Candyland with her and I could play Tea Party with her. There were things that I could do that I chose to do anyway. And that's all part of getting it done. What she needs from me is for me to be present, for me to be mindful, for me to be there with her. And I can give her that in my own way, with my own capabilities of where I am right now. And even with all that, as moms, we never feel like we're doing quite enough. And it was just last week, Sydney was getting ready in the morning. She was brushing her teeth and she yells down the hallway, "Daddy, what am I supposed to wear?" And he says, "Honey, if you just go look in your room, I'm sure your mama already has your clothes laid out for you." And I looked at him and I was like, "What is that supposed to mean?" And he said, Out of all the difficulties that you've had over the past year and a half, all the things that you've not been able to do, and the things you beat yourself up about not being able to keep the kitchen clean all the time and stay on top of all the laundry and everything else," he's like, "the one thing that you have always done is take care of Sydney. You have always, it's like, he's like, it's like clockwork. It is predictable. I know at any time in the evening, if I walk into Sydney's room, her clothes are ironed and laid out on her dresser for her the next day. Her hair is braided and ready to go. She has everything that she needs. She has snacks for school. Her lunchbox is packed with a note in it. Like, it, you could, right? You could, like, our house could be on fire, but Sydney would be taken care of. And that's just what we do as moms. We figure out how to get it done. And even though I was in such a difficult place, being able to see her be happy and taken care of and dressed, proud of her new braids and beads in her hair, that brought me joy that I couldn't get from the place that I was in personally. And that is the one time where I had to rely on finding joy in something outside of myself. And I don't regret it one bit. I think that taking care of her and knowing that I had to show up for her every day is part of what saved me.
Yeah.
And kids will have that effect on you for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They are a blessing in more ways than one.
Absolutely.
They definitely. Well, thank you so much, Faith. I don't know about you, but I really enjoyed.
I did too. Thank you so much.
And getting to know your story a little bit more. You're everything I imagined.
Thank you.
You are an incredible woman, an incredible human being, and thank you so much for just sharing your life and your transparency, and just being open and honest. So that the rest of us can, you know, glean and be blessed and move on with our lives. You're helping so many of us. So thank you
so
much.
You're welcome, Desiree. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
No problem. Before we leave, do you want to tell everybody about your journals?
Sure.
Do you have Purpose, a 90-day guided journal, and Because We're Worthy, that's the second edition. And I'm on your website. Mm-hmm. If you guys want to check out her books, and she's got some shirts, some really cute sayings on here. So tell us a little bit about your website and your blog and everything, and where they can find you at.
Absolutely. So my website is www.fleurdelisspeaks.com, and I do have a shop tab there where you can purchase either one of my journals, and those will be the ones on my website or the deluxe version. So they are spiral bound and are on linen paper. You can also find them if you just type them into Amazon search bar. You can find the standard paperback version on Amazon as well. And then also on my website, I have some apparel, some t-shirts with some of my notes on them, in quotations. And then I also write a blog. So there are several blog posts there as well, talking about me, my life, things that I've experienced, things about accident, just, you know, doing all the things. I hope that they are kind of entertaining and fun for you to read. And you can also find me on Instagram, obviously, at FleurDelisSpeaks. So feel free to check me out, follow, send me a message. Also, if you are in the Atlanta area, on June 29th at 5 p.m., I'll actually be doing a live podcast recording and fireside chat with a sweet girl named CG Townsend, and she is the chief operating officer of balancednotbusy.com. And so we're going to be having just kind of a chat, a girlfriend chat, about what it means to live a balanced life, not just a busy life, and how to make time for the things that are important. And it's going to be a great time. It's in a really, really cute venue downtown, and I think you guys would enjoy it. So that information is also on my Instagram page, and you can buy tickets there.
Awesome. Thank you. And I will have links in the show notes. You can visit www.sincerelymrsmommy.com and look for this episode's title, on the blog, and I will have links to everything that she mentioned, so you can have quick access to finding Faith.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I hope to talk to you again soon.
Yes. And I hope you have a beautiful day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Y'all, wasn't that amazing? Didn't I tell you were in for a treat? So please go to sincerelymrsmommy.com to look for this episode. You will see all the links to everything that was mentioned today. Definitely check that out. If you have access to iTunes, please go and rate and review the podcast. And if you haven't already subscribed so you don't miss any other episodes. And just thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you again, FeedSpot, for the top 40 feature. And thank you to everybody who comes in every other week, every time I post something. Thank you so much for tuning in, whether it's the blog, this podcast, on YouTube, liking and sharing things on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate you all. Have a great one. Until next time, be blessed. Thanks again for listening to Sincerely Mrs. Mommy, the podcast. You can follow along with the blog posts at www.sincerelymrsmommy.com. If you'd like to send an email, you can do so at sincerelymrsmommy@gmail.com. And if you'd like to follow us on social, you can at sincerelymrsmommy and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Pinterest. Be sure to share this with your mom friends and tune in next week for another episode. Thanks, you guys. Be blessed.